All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Rinkwide Vancouver. Another jackpot for the lotto line as the Vancouver Canucks defeat the Pittsburgh Penguins 4-3 in overtime. Elias Pettersson, what a night for him as he goes head-to-head with Sidney Crosby. What a night for both of them. But the Vancouver Canucks extend their win streak to 4. They're now 12-2-2 in their last 16 hockey games. This is Rinkwide Vancouver. It's brought to you by Betway. Jeff Patterson along with Irfan Ghaffar. Can these teams line up and do this again tomorrow or Saturday? They'll see the Penguins again one more time, this time in Vancouver. Already looking forward to that. But the Canucks putting on a show these days. They're playing great hockey. They're playing entertaining hockey. And that lotto line just continues, Irf, to cash in on a nightly basis.
That was a fun hockey game.
It was.
The first period, the Canucks took it to them. I thought, you know, the game was going to be well out of reach but before we got to the midway point, maybe the second period. But, wow, I mean, credit to the Pittsburgh Penguins for coming back. Two of these teams are the better defensive teams in the National Hockey League. And, you know, somehow, some way, we still get an overtime and they score 7 goals. So, what a night for Elias Pettersson. We're obviously going to dive into it. But, I mean, quickly, Jeff, we talked about it. You mentioned it to me. I mean, he scored the game winner on all 4 of their wins this road trip. Remarkable from EP40.
2 goals, 2 assists in this game, so he's in on all of the Canucks scoring. Led the team with 5 shots on goal. The 4 straight game-winning goals, and man, is this guy scoring in bunches right now. He has 2 goals in 4 of the last 6 games. You go back to the Ottawa game, the first game of 2024. That was the last home game. Scored 2 that night. And has scored twice on 3 occasions since then. And for good measure, he scored on the island the other night. That was just a single goal, so an off night for him. But the way this lotto line is going right now, it is incredible. 4 goals and 5 assists in this hockey game. So 9 more points. Brock Besser with the first couple of goals. Pettersson and Miller setting them up. Of course, Petey scores the winner. It's not necessarily the lotto line, but he's a huge part of the success of that trio these days. And this Vancouver Canuck team that just refuses to lose hockey games, or so it seems. And, you know, they bent. They were pushed. Like, give the Penguins credit. I'm with you there. At 3-1, you thought, okay, if the Canucks can come out and start the second period the way that they had played much of that first, they could run away and hide from this Pittsburgh outfit. But interesting call by Mike Sullivan. He pulls Alex Nedeljkovic after 1 period. I don't fault the Penguins starter on any of the goals. Again, lotto line ran wild, but sometimes coaches do that to get the attention of the team in front of them, just to shake things up. Man, was Tristan Jarry good. And that's not an easy job coming in cold. And Ray and Shorty talked about it on the broadcast, that you know, a lot of times the guy that's not expecting to play that night gets rinsed at the morning skate, puts in the hours and the effort, and just isn't that mindset. And I know if you're starting on the bench, you always have to be prepared one knock away from going in there. But Tristan Jarry came in, and the Canucks did start the second period the way that they had finished the first. Like, they peppered him with a number of chances. Teddy Bluger had a great opportunity. Dakota Joshua on the doorstep. Sam Lafferty with a snapshot. There was chance after chance after chance there. So Tristan Jarry held his team in it until Sidney Crosby got fired up. And, of course, middle-aged Sid, still a force to be reckoned with in this National Hockey League, pulls the Penguins within one, and then they go back and forth for the remainder of regulation time and into the final minute with the goaltender on the bench for an extra attacker. And there's Sidney Crosby winning the faceoff cleanly from Elias Pettersson, back to the point, point shot, and it deflects off Sid and finds its way in. And so the Canucks couldn't get out of Pittsburgh cleanly, but they don't care about the single point that the Penguins, they're an Eastern Conference team. The single point means nothing to the Vancouver Canucks. It's all about the 2 points that they put in their back pocket to extend their win streak to 4.
You know, you mentioned, you know, taking Nedeljkovic out and then putting Jarry in. I think that when they made it 2-1, Marcus Pettersson scores. Elias Pettersson scores to make it 3-1 just before the period ends. With 2 minutes left, he scores. And I think for Sullivan, he's like, man, are we going to break here? Is this going to be the breaking point? He makes the change. Jarry goes in. And the Canucks, to your point, they did still pepper Jarry with shots. But somehow, you know, the Penguins kind of rallied together and they made it a game. But a fun game. I mean, Brock Besser got things going very early on. And then again with his 27th. And then he was on the ice late. I swear he was going to be on for the final 2 minutes of that just so they tried to get him the hat trick goal there. But yeah, lots of stuff that you like for if you're a Canucks fan. I mean, that was a good hockey game. That was good hockey teams playing high-level hockey. And, you know, we mentioned it to each other, like, why isn't there another game like this in a couple days against a good team? I know they're going to, obviously, Buffalo on Saturday and then Columbus on Monday. Maybe not teams that you can get up for, but I'm sure the Canucks will. But, yeah, a wild night. I mean, good for the Vancouver Canucks. And again, it's the bend, don't break mentality, and they're certainly proving that.
28-11-3 now on the season. I repeat, 28-11-3. This is the first game of the second half of their schedule. They're up to 59 points now, and they just continue to, you know, scratch and claw their way closer to a playoff spot. It'll be a while before they clinch, but they're rendering the out-of-town scoreboard completely meaningless right now because it just doesn't matter what any of those teams in the chase pack do. If they win, all they're doing is, you know, matching the Vancouver Canucks, who, as I mentioned, 12-2-2 in their last 16 games. So two outright losses in the last essentially month and a half. When we talked about the Penguins pushing them, they did. And one of the storylines all season, and the deeper they go, the sort of more prominent it's going to become, is this record when the Canucks are leading after two periods of play. And so Crosby scores 6 minutes into the second. It's a 3-2 hockey game. It stays that way. And there are the Canucks taking another lead to the third period, the 25th time now that they've taken an edge to the final period of play. Again, the Penguins get a single point. They scratch and claw, so they get a consolation prize, but the record remains intact here. The Vancouver Canucks are 25-0 when leading after 40 minutes of play. The fact that they've had 25 leads in 42 games is mind-boggling. You know, again, the Penguins came close, but nobody has been able to reel the Vancouver Canucks in over the final period of a hockey game.
Well, I mean, and obviously, to your point, they've only trailed after two periods 8 times this season. So you look at that. We talked about this a couple games ago when we did this, Jeff. There's not enough superlatives to talk about this Vancouver Canucks team. I mean, it's the buy-in. Yes, you have that. And then they tie the game late, but they could have easily kind of went to overtime. And we were in the middle of this road trip. Very easy to kind of, you know, just wash this one away. But how good of a feeling must this be? You don't care what any other team does, and you don't even have to worry about it because you know how well you're playing, and you've built yourself this equity with all of this lead that you have built up from playing so well this season. And is it going to come back to earth? The contender thing, and we can debate that when it gets to March and April and see what happens there. But this team is definitely earning itself to be, you know, those odds for playoffs and cup favorites. They're definitely going to start moving higher and higher.
We get to the stat that stands out a little bit later on in every edition of Rinkwide, but this is one that I've been charting for a while now. And, well, the Canucks are beating the Penguins 4-3 in overtime. The Oilers edge Detroit 3-2. Edmonton is 17-3 in its last 20 games. 17-3 in the last 20 games. They've picked up 2 points on the Vancouver Canucks over that stretch. Like, that's just mind-blowing stuff, and it feels like every night we're able to come up with stats that stand out, and the Canucks, you know, a bit of a mixed bag on the out-of-town scoreboard. The Kings lose again. They lost in overtime, so they get a single point, but Vancouver picks up another point on the LA Kings, who have 2 wins in their last 9 games now, or 2 wins in 10, I think it is, for the Kings, and the Canucks continue to stretch their lead there over one of those teams that was right there neck and neck with them up until Christmas in the Pacific Division, but the Canucks are starting to distance themselves from some of those other teams that had their sights set on the division title. I will cop to it right here, right now. I've been one of the guys that's been sort of pointing out the fact that too many goals have been getting by Thatcher Demko in the last month or so, that the win-loss record is untouchable. He's 9-1-1 in his last 11 starts. You can't argue with that. But if we look at him through a lens of being one of the best in the National Hockey League, and I think he wants to believe that he's in that company, and he sort of played himself into that grouping, that there were just too many goals. Even earlier in this trip, the New Jersey game, there were goals that sort of floated past him that you would like to make some saves. When you've got a team that scores as much as the Canucks do, that's a luxury, obviously, for a goaltender. And I know he's had a bunch of shutouts this year. The final 40 minutes of this game might have been right there in the conversation for his most valuable performance in a hockey game.
Oh my God, that third period. We have our notes here. All I wrote in the third period is basically Demko, 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 Demko. That's how many saves he made, yeah. Right? And I mean, and they weren't saves where it was like, okay, it's the Demko. They were spectacular saves that he had to make.
The back end on Crosby.
Oh, it was ridiculous. I mean, just the stuff that, you know, he's doing. And I think when he's on, the rest of the team is on. I mean, as much as it's the Lotto line, as much as it's Quinn Hughes, when Thatcher Demko is on and is on his game, like, I think if you were to ask one of those guys in that room, you see the play of Thatcher Demko in the third period, they'd probably say, we knew we weren't losing that game because he had our back. So we know that we had to go get him that win.
Yeah, JT Miller took the penalty on Crosby, yeah. Ill-advised in a tight game, and it's Sid, and he's going to get that call all day, and he did. And on the delayed penalty, the Penguins zipping around, they move it to the front of the net, Gensel there. You may have heard Jake Gensel's name in conversations in these parts of late. Gensel had an assist on the first of the 2 Crosby goals, but didn't have a huge night. Neither did Evgeny Malkin, but Gensel on the doorstep there, and Demko flashed the pad, made a stop. Chris Letang, when they were pushing for the equalizer, had a good look with a slap shot, and Demko just making himself big in the net, making the save there. And again, unfortunate, the Crosby goal that ties it, bit of a seeing eye job, but Penguins did what they had to do. They win the faceoff there, pull it back, and get a shot through traffic. But Thatcher Demko, yeah. I mean, on the night, the Penguins outshoot the Canucks 35-29, 14-5 in the third period, and it felt that way. I mean, most of the play was in the Vancouver zone, and so as Rick Tocchet again tries to build the process of this team, you're going to run into good opponents. They did the other night against the Rangers, but they were able to persevere. And in this game as well, it took a little overtime, bent but didn't break. And ultimately, their game breaker, Elias Pettersson, with his second of the night, 22nd of the season now on this absolute heater here out on this road trip, is EP40. And Filip Hronek with another assist and a run of a nice defensive play to thwart the Penguins' attack. They had looked like it was going to be a 3-on-1. Canucks were able to kind of get back in numbers there, but Hronek down, blocks the centering pass, and then sees Pettersson out at center ice going the other way, springs him on the breakaway. And a little bit of a delayed goal in that I think Tristan Jarry thought he had it, and the puck just sneaks through, but certainly crossed the line. And we saw some emotion too, Irv, from EP40.
Yeah.
You know, pretty subdued
after
guy.
That goal.
Has scored a lot of goals in this league, put up a lot of points, but that goal for this game to keep the streak alive, and down on one knee and the little fist pump as well. So you can tell, you know, these guys are dialed in right now. Nobody more than him. This one felt like it meant a little more, I think, to the Vancouver Canucks.
It's a $12 million fist pump starting right there. That's what that is. That's what that is, Jeff. I'll tell you that much. 8-1-0 in their last 9 games against the East. Yeah. Like, look, they play well. It's so funny when you look at all of these stats. It's always a very large number next to a very, very little number around this team for the Vancouver Canucks. Like 7-1-2 in their last 9 games on the road since December 2nd. Like, this team is playing well, and it's doing things at an elite level. That stat we've mentioned, that we've talked about, and you've been charting, obviously, the 25-0-0, that's an elite stat. They got elite goaltending today. Their Lotto line right now is playing at an elite level. It's wild to see. It's fun to watch when they're playing well, I think fans here should be excited about their hockey team. And, you know, you kind of just want those meaningful games to happen. I mean, we talked about the schedule coming up. You get Winnipeg 3 times, LA 3 times, get Vegas 3 times, right? You get some good teams, some big physical, hard teams to play against. So those are the games that I'm excited for. But when you see a game like this against a team that has Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, Erik Karlsson, and a team that, you know, Rick Tocchet used to be a part of, you know, Sergei Gonchar, you know, half the Canucks roster used to be a part of the Pittsburgh Penguins. This one did feel like it meant a little bit more to Vancouver.
So the line on Sidney Crosby, speaking of stats that stand out.
Yeah.
2 goals.
Okay.
25 minutes and 10 seconds of ice time. 5 shots on goal. 5 hits. And 31 faceoffs, winning 18 of them, going 18 and 13 in the circle. Like, the guy was everywhere.
That's not middle age, Sid.
Oh, man. And by comparison, for Evgeny Malkin, just over 20 minutes of ice time, had 3 shots on goal, but just didn't notice him. And certainly over the years, there have been enough games where the Canucks have had no answer for a guy like Evgeny Malkin. So I'm sure they're just fine that it was a relatively quiet night for Malkin. But another show there for Sid, who, you know, just hasn't played the Canucks very much. The guy's played well over 1,200 games in the National Hockey League, and this was just his 22nd career game against the Vancouver Canucks with the East-West imbalance. So their traits, I'm sure it's not a trait for players trying to defend Sidney Crosby, but up to 24 goals ahead of the All-Star break, still with a couple of weeks to go, and he'll be representing the Penguins there in Toronto at All-Star Weekend. We mentioned Thatcher Demko, gave him his flowers, and rightly so. He was terrific, particularly in the third period. And particularly on the penalty kill, because that was a story in this hockey game as well. Canucks got an early penalty, and man, did they go to work Besser with the conversion of the, basically the shot pass from JT Miller, but they made that one look easy, and that was Besser's second of the night. So power play goal, 6.5 in, and it's 2-0 for the Canucks, and you're thinking, hey, they may run away and hide from this Pittsburgh operation, especially if they get more power plays, but they didn't. They were going to have to wait well into the third to get their second power play of the night. Meanwhile, the Penguins had 4 power plays in a row, and they had 2 there in the third period where they were pushing. And on the night, you know, they tested Thatcher Demko, generated 7 shots in their 4 power plays, but they didn't score. And so credit to the Canucks penalty killers. Tyler Myers, 5 minutes and 7 seconds of penalty killing time. Ian Cole at 4:39. So I get it. There's still a segment of the fan base that wonders what Tyler Myers does around here and what keeps this guy and why don't they move him and all that kind of stuff. Look, Tyler Myers is having a rebirth this season at the age of 33, soon to be 34. Some won't want to hear it, but he's played really well. Yeah, he had a tough night in Tampa in the first, week of the season. But really, since then, he has settled in and settled down. 5 minutes of penalty killing time. Those are not easy minutes. Tip of the cap to those two, but to all the penalty killers. And, of course, the best penalty killer of all is Thatcher Demko.
You know, you mentioned Tyler Myers very quickly. You know, you and I wanted him to slap shot that chance that he had, but instead it was a little bit of a snap, more of a snapshot there. I mean, it could have went in. It was at 93 point something miles per hour the other night, but you're right. I mean, Thatcher Demko. I mean, he's going to be in the Vezina conversation. They don't win this hockey game without him. And I think every single player will tell you that. He was spectacular again, like I mentioned, when he needed to be. He made very, very, very timely saves. The Sid backhand obviously was one. He made a glove save. I think it was on Chris Letang with the extra man. But just before they scored the goal, that was ridiculous. And that kind of quieted things down a bit. Obviously, they did tie the game there later. And as much as we talk about, you know, some of the goals going in, the ones that you don't like, on nights like this, when you look at Thatcher Demko, you say, okay, wow, I mean, are you really going to give up some of those performances if he's able to bail you out on nights like this?
We should mention as well that the Penguins were down a forward for much of the hockey game. Yeah, Riley Smith took a hard hit from Nikita Zadorov. Canucks took 4 penalties. They were probably lucky that Zadorov wasn't called there. I think case could have been made that that was boarding. I mean, Zadorov's obviously the bigger player there, but it looked like he kind of drilled him between the numbers into the boards, and you never like to see anybody leave. But the Pens were down a man, and that's part of why. I mean, Crosby was going to play a lot regardless, but when they're down a forward, ice time kind of spike. And Riley Smith played a grand total of 3 minutes and 8 seconds in this hockey game, just 5 shifts on the night. But it was a night that belonged to the lotto line, particularly Elias Pettersson, who has just taken his game to another stratosphere here. I don't know if it coincides with the fact that it was the flip of the calendar into 2024, knowing that this is now officially the contract year. It's been the contract season, but you know, whatever that meter was at 10 days ago, it is bumping up there, and it doesn't feel like it's going to be coming back down at any point. But it's fun to watch. It's great for him. It's great for the hockey club and for the fans as well. And this market has been starved for significant, meaningful, impactful games basically beyond January. I mean, we always used to talk about meaningful games in March, and you know, that was a pipe dream that didn't actually occur in some of those seasons under Willie D and then early in the Travis Green era as well. What excites me the most now is, I mean, this team's going to the playoffs. I think that much, yeah. I mean, they don't have the X beside their name, but they're headed to the playoffs. And it is, you know, we started this pod saying, like, why can't they play again? Well, you wouldn't see the Penguins until the Stanley Cup final. But just the idea that come playoff time, Irv, you're going to see games like this one. And then two nights later, same teams are going to go right back at it. And they're going to build on what everything they went through in the first game of the series. And then game two and three, and it just continues to grow. And that's the true excitement, I think, for me and all of this is that as good as one game is in isolation, you get to the playoffs and it's a week, it's 10 days of this and more. And it's just been so long since the fans here have had the opportunity to go to Rogers Arena and experience anything like that.
Yeah, and I think the anticipation is even more because you look at this team right now and what they have, and with everything that's going out and you're hearing what, you know, Jim Rutherford saying in different interviews, and they want to add. They want to add a top six forward. Okay, well, if you're going to do that, who's it going to be, right? And I think that now is kind of the conversation is, well, we're good right now. We can make the playoffs, but what can we do to try and improve our team? And I think Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford have done a really, really good job at tweaking this roster the way they needed to and building this team and putting this core group together. It's going to get interesting as we approach the All-Star game, another milestone point, and then as we approach the NHL trade deadline to kind of see where this team really is at. And then when they get the Magic X beside their name, Jeff, it's going to come a lot sooner than later, I think. And that's what's another thing that's exciting if you're a fan. You know, you might be one of, if not the first teams to have that X beside your name. I mean, LA losing tonight against the Florida Panthers in overtime. I mean, that definitely does help. But yeah, it's definitely going to be fun here over the next little while.
Well, hopefully people are having fun with Rinkwide. Yep. We're going to be here all the way down the stretch. And then ultimately the payoff is come playoff time. And we haven't had an opportunity in the 3 years we've been doing Rinkwide to have Rinkwide playoff post-game podcasts. So yeah, the excitement is there. And this team is worth getting excited about. And by the game, it's more and more now, as we've said. Four straight victories out on this road trip, 12-2-2 in their last 16. All the numbers, any way you come at it, it's just moving in the right direction for the Vancouver Canucks. We've got lots still ahead here on this episode. We'll get to the three-star selection, a little bit of locker room reaction, as well as the Canucks pack up in Pittsburgh and move on to Buffalo for an afternoon game on Saturday. The road trip wraps up in Columbus on Monday. We'll get to a stat that stands out. We've thrown a lot of stats. So maybe we've done the stat that stands out. Perhaps we'll come up with some more. We'll continue digging as we move along here. Some listener feedback as well, and a thought or two on what is still to come on the trip here. But right now it's time for our Betway Bet of the Day, just a two-game Friday in the National Hockey League. And I'm not sure this is going to be the prettiest game that the NHL sees this season. The Philadelphia Flyers at Minnesota. The Canucks saw the Flyers recently, just after Christmas there. They were tough to break down and score against. Minnesota certainly can play that same way as well, although without Kaprizov and a couple of defensemen, Wild have fallen on hard times. But I'd probably take the under here, but that's not the bet. I'm going to take the Flyers on the money line. They're the road underdog here, but I will take Philly at 205. That's the Betway Bet of the Day. Must be 19-plus to play, and please play responsibly. Jeff and Arf here, breaking down, oh yeah, another Vancouver Canuck victory. This one required some overtime. 4-3, they defeat the Pittsburgh Penguins. You're listening to Rinkwide Vancouver. All right, we covered a lot of ground there in the opening segment, Irv. I'm kind of curious to hear what players and the coaching staff thought of this. Well, we enjoyed it. I would imagine they liked the end result ultimately, but a little bit of a twisted path to get there, giving up the late one, but pulling it out in overtime 4-3. is the final. The Canucks over the Penguins, up to 4-1 now on this road trip. Rick Tocchet, after the game, was asked about the composure that his hockey club is showing here as they go about their business of winning hockey games.
Yeah, pretty resilient group. You know, there's moments, obviously, we got to clean up, but I thought, you know, the bench, I got to admit, sometimes when the pressure's on us, you know, guys aren't getting rattled, and that's good. That's a good thing. You know, we want to stick to our game as much as possible. We don't want to back in. We just want to flip pucks out. And I think we were really good against the Islanders under pressure. I thought tonight, when obviously he was all world again tonight. So, you know, when you get a guy that caliber out there, it makes some guys get a little jumpy.
Yeah, and he said not getting rattled there. I would agree. I mean, you know, the Penguins are pushing. They're a good team, and they got Sidney Crosby who's playing and Tocchet all world, and he's not wrong. You give the Penguins some credit, but I think you give the Canucks credit, too, for ultimately, you know, not sagging. That could have been disappointing that you give up the late one, but kind of eyes on the prize there, and best player ends up being the best player and winning it in overtime. So on to Buffalo, as we've talked about here. Elias Pettersson was asked after the game about, you know, how good the win felt, considering how hard they were pushed by the Penguins.
It means a lot. I think, obviously, we're happy with the first period, but second and third, we kind of let them run over us and, get back into the game. But overall, happy with the win.
they ran all over us in that second period. He's not wrong.
You're not wrong. Yeah,
not
exactly.
Wrong. I like the, yeah, I mean, that's an interesting view from the ice, Elias Pettersson. But ultimately, it's did you outscore your opponents? And the answer at the end of the night is yes. We gushed about Thatcher Demko. I liked his performance against the Rangers the other night. Gave up 3, but it was the saves that he made when he made them. And, you know, it had that big game feel as well. And I thought he had a big game performance on a big stage at Madison Square. This is a little bit different, but he had never beaten the Pittsburgh Penguins in his career. And not only that, 0-3. So it wasn't like he was 0-10, but he had given up a bunch over those 3 games. So I'm sure he knows that in the back of his mind. The Penguins and Sid and Malkin and the crew there, they've scored a lot of goals on a lot of goaltenders over the years. So Thatcher Demko rose to the challenge. We talked about his work on the penalty kill particularly. He was good. The team in front of him was good. Demko talking post-game about finding ways to win, a variety of ways to win hockey games here as the season goes along.
Yeah, I think, you know, just all year finding different ways to win, knowing that each game is going to be a little different than the last one, and being comfortable in a ton of different positions is huge. So, you know, I think this group just keeps learning as we go, and I think that's really important. And, you know, we're going to be in a lot of tight games here down the stretch, and being able to handle those, it's going to be huge.
You know, we heard from JT Miller the other night, who had the same sort of phrase in one of his answers, talking about later in the season and down the stretch. And I get this sense that as much as they're trying to stay in the moment, they recognize now all of this work, these 28 victories, is going to have them playing games later in the season that are going to have that heft and that significance and ultimately on to the playoffs. So I kind of like that. It's like, you know, stay in the moment, but also in the back of your mind, you're filing these ones away because you're going to have to draw on these experiences later on.
Well, bigger picture, right? And I think that's the thing that, you know, they know. I think that there is that belief in that room amongst those guys that are playing and obviously everyone else involved within that organization that they're a good hockey club and they can go and do these things and compete. I mean, look, in all reality, the wins are incredible. You look at what the Boston Bruins did last year. They had the season of it was unbelievable. You're and right. They did nothing in the playoffs. So I think they know that. You get yourself to a position, but it's what are you going to do after you're in this position? I think that's a focus. And with a guy like JT saying that, Thatcher Demko saying that now, is they know exactly what their goal is, and it's not just winning regular season games.
And the flip side there is that, you know, for all the good they did under Rick Tocchet last year, and these were building blocks for what they're doing now, but, you know, you go into Dallas last year and you win, great.
Yeah.
It means absolutely nothing. Right? Like, enjoy it for the night, but it wasn't something to build on, really, because there wasn't going to be that wave of significant games still to come. But this year has been different on so many levels, and a good win for the Vancouver Canucks. Demko was asked at the end of his post-game media availability if he's just sitting back in his crease there watching and enjoying what the Lotto line is doing at the other end of the ice.
You know, it's an honor to play with those guys and just see the work that they put in. You know, it's nice to see that other goalies struggle with them the same way that I do in practice sometimes. So, yeah, they've been playing great for us, and it's been great to see.
Well, the guy's got saves, and he's got jokes there, too. Happy to see that other goaltenders experiencing what he experiences. I mean, look, I've watched a lot of practices. You've watched a lot of practices. And Demko's a battler. I mean, he wants to stop every puck that comes his way in games and in practices. I don't know if the Lotto line guys have embarrassed him in a practice, but they are certainly showing up goaltenders at the other end of the ice right now.
Well, absolutely. I mean, they're fun to watch. That's where Demko gets a front row seat, obviously, and he doesn't like pulling the pucks out of the back of his net in practice. And I mean, look, they're not the only ones on that team watching. We're watching. Other media members are watching. The country's watching. The entire National Hockey League is watching. And, you know, this Lotto line is taking this league by storm a little bit and what they've been able to do the last little while.
Well, let's get to the rink-wide Vancouver Three Stars. Not a lot of suspense these days in the Three Stars with the way the Lotto line guys are going. It's just a question of all three. Are they going to be the stars, or will we, you know, sprinkle somebody else in? The Three Stars in the building is selected by the media there in Pittsburgh. Elias Pettersson, Brock Besser nudges Sidney Crosby to the third star position. So I thought Sid might get a little home cooking there, but Besser was terrific too to give the Canucks the early 2-0 lead. I am going to flip Besser and Crosby, and that's not really a knock on Brock. I mean, he had a nice game. I just marvel, and we don't see Crosby play against the Canucks enough. Obviously, we've all watched Sidney Crosby over his career, and it's just so good for hockey that he's back and doing what he's doing at this level, at this stage, because like a decade ago, there were a lot of voices calling for him to just walk away from the game, that he had his cups and that, or he had a cup at least, had his gold medal, and that he had his health, or that people wanted him to make sure that he had a long, healthy life out in front of him, but did what he had to do. I know it wasn't easy for him, but you know, you look at his career numbers and you think that, I mean, this guy was forced to miss a lot of time with significant head injuries, and it's just so good for him and for hockey that he's back and, you know, at 36, looks like he's at or near the top of his game.
It's crazy. Sid the Kid, you know, kind of reborn.
Has aged in front of our eyes to the point where he's now Sid the middle-aged guy. Just doesn't roll off the tongue so much, but he was terrific. We went through the numbers from this hockey game, but nobody better than the EP40. So he was the first star, 2 goals and 2 assists, 4 more points as he rolls along here on this road trip and brings the teammates along with him. Pettersson, Elias Pettersson, because Marcus had a goal and an assist as well, but Elias ends up the better of the Petterssons and on the winning side here. EP40, Sidney Crosby, Brock Besser. Those are your rink-wide Vancouver Three Stars for this one. Still to come, our stat that stands out. We've had a lot of them, but we've come up with another good one here. Listener feedback as the fever pitch is starting to build, and we'll get into our feedback channels here at Rinkwide Van. We'll look ahead to what is still to come. 2 games to go on the road trip, 5 down and 2 to go. The Canucks are 4-1 through 5 stops, heading for Buffalo on Saturday. We're headed for more of Rinkwide Vancouver in a moment. As we carry on here on Rinkwide Vancouver, 4-3 Canucks over the Penguins. Second overtime win of the season, by the way. The first was against Bo Horvat here in Vancouver. Quinn Hughes with the dagger that night, and EP40 in this one. And, you know, when I look at the star power the Canucks can throw out over the boards in overtime, I'm always surprised that their overtime record isn't a little bit better. Now, every team in the league has a star player. Many have a couple. And so there is top-end talent out there, and the other guys are trying to score too. But the Canucks have so many game breakers, and thought it was interesting with the way that Pettersson has been going particularly, that Rick Tocchet didn't throw him out over the boards to start overtime. And I do think that probably was tactical to go with Miller and Besser, see what the Penguins are going to do, and then see if you can get Petey out there against, you know, the second best that Mike Sullivan had to offer. Of course, it went deep into overtime, so Pettersson didn't score on his first overtime shift, but they went Miller and Besser, and then Pettersson and Kuzmenko, Mikheyev and Garland, and then they came back to Besser and Miller, and Petey was out there with Kuzmenko. And I know we were on Kuzmenko watch as the game unfolded here, because it's a 3-2 game midway through the third period, and generally that is time to shorten the bench, and in fact they did, but when this game got to overtime, the leash was lengthened a little bit. Kuzmenko got a couple of OT shifts.
For Tocchet, it's okay. Let's give him a shot here. You You know, it's 3-on-3. Yep. If you've shown that you've been responsible in your own end all game, I'll give you a shot here. And I think that that's rewarding him for doing the little things that he wants him to do right. I mean, in a 3-2 game, I mean, I looked and I said to you, I was like, I don't think he's going to play another shift unless there was a power play with 9 minutes to go. But he obviously did and get some overtime, and credit to him, because he's obviously learning and listening to what his coaches are teaching him, because otherwise, you know, a couple weeks ago, he's probably stapled to the middle of that bench.
Well, there's Lotto Line and then there's everybody else. Now, Connor Garland was buzzing again, had the shift early in the third period, banked the puck off the back of the net to himself and was wheeling and dealing and creating things, and then, gets under the skin of Lars Eller in a tight game. I mean, that could have been costly. We talked about the Canucks had to wait a while to get a second power play. They did in the third period because Connor Garland up into the grill of Eller. Eller turns around, blatant cross-check. And so Connor Garland out there trying to do things and causing chaos as he does. But I think it's fair to ask the question, as much fun as it is right now to watch the Lotto Line, are the other 9 forwards guilty of watching the Lotto Line as well?
Sometimes. And I think it's tough not to. That first period, just if it was any indication, it's like, okay, well, these guys are going to carry us. The Lotto Line is great, but you've got to have contributions from the other lines. I mean, you mentioned Connor Garland's name, but we haven't really heard too much from that line after all the success that they had recently. And then once Rick Tocchet put the Lotto Line together, the amount of points they're getting, everyone's talking about them. And to their credit, I mean, they are playing at a really, really ridiculous level. I don't know if it's sustainable, but like, where's Nils Höglander in all of this?
Well, he had the nice night at Madison Square. Yeah. He's kind of the least of my concerns. Right now, it's Pia Suter with Kuzmenko and particularly Ilya Mikheyev, who doesn't hurt you. And I want to be clear about that. But he's making $5 million. He's got double digits in goals. Like, it's not like he hasn't contributed, but can he, will he generate offense away from Elias Pettersson? And right now with Pia Suter and Kuzmenko on the other side there, and looking at the underlying numbers, not terrible in this hockey game. Again, not hurting, out shooting their opponents, so they're winning their shot share. But will there come a night at some point where a Lotto Line just doesn't have it? I know it's hard to imagine, but in those instances, you just like a little bit of a spark. And on this road trip, Mikheyev has 1 assist. It came the other night on Hronek's goal against the Islanders. And Pia Suter has 1 assist, and it was a nice play to Höglander at Madison Square. But the 2 points that line has generated didn't come as a line. They came on goals that, you know, sort of broken line combinations and deployment. So this team is winning. I'm not here trying to, you know, actively find issues, but I do wonder if at times the rest of that team sort of falls into a trap of Lotto's got us. Like, you know, it's not that important that we score right now, but there are going to come some games where it will be, and maybe Buffalo on Saturday will be that night. I want to get to the stat that stands out ahead of some listener feedback and lots of good feedback to our social channels at Rinkwide Van. And credit to Irv, he came up with this stat that stands out. So not just a pretty face, he's coming up digging deep with the stats that stand out. In games in which Brock Besser and Elias Pettersson have both scored for the Vancouver Canucks, this is going back through their careers, the Canucks are now 31-1-1. I'd love to know the 1 outright loss.
Yeah, me too.
I've just been absolute money. And it stands to reason that if your best players are scoring, they're going and, you know, giving your team a boost there. But that is another ridiculous number that certainly stands out at 31-1-1 in games when both Besser and Pettersson score, and they both scored twice in this one tonight.
Yeah, just a wild stat. I mean, look, like I said, there's a lot of stats and a lot of numbers when you look at this team, and they're doing things at a crazy level. There's probably some that that are out there we haven't even gotten into yet. They're breaking all sorts of franchise records every night. Seemingly, there's something going on, but that one kind of stands out a little bit, and it's those two guys, right? It's a guy that, you know, we've mentioned so many times that has struggled a lot with maybe scoring in the last little bit, like the last season, and Brock Besser. This year, he's obviously coming in and scoring at a ridiculous rate. And Elias Pettersson. I mean, what more can we say about him besides 12 million, 12 million, 12 million? You know what I mean? But I think that, yeah, it's just one of those things where when those two are going and they're putting the puck in the net, they're not losing those games.
And Besser up to 27 on the season now, so closing in on 30. And you'd think the way he's going here by the end of the month on the homestand at some point, although the way this line's going, maybe by the end of the road trip. Honestly, who knows? I mean, he had 2 early And you kind of thought that there would be a hat trick somewhere along the line, even if it was into an empty net, wasn't to be. Required some OT tonight, but the Canucks win it. And Besser, by the way, something about the black and gold on the other side of the Penguins. 9 goals in 10 career games against the Pittsburgh Penguins, including his first NHL hat trick going back a handful of years. All right, want to get into listener feedback here because we've got lots of it, and we're starting to see it too. And you can feel it, whether it's on the streets around town, in our inbox, like the buzz is building here. People are buying in. The hardcores have been there. I think some of the casuals that have been scarred by the last decade, you know, they're starting to come back to this team now that it's into the second half of the season. Corey says, when I say I haven't got that hyped in a long time, I mean it. EP40, what a stud. Scott says, that felt like the playoffs, and our Canucks stood up. Huge win. Loved the battle. Loved EP40's goal last game. Loving this one more at the moment. So, yeah, a lot of love for EP40 to our social channels. The pressure went up, and we didn't crumble away, says Will. And I think that, you know, Rick Tocchet always talks about meeting pressure with pressure. Look, the runaway wins have been fun, right? 10-1 over San Jose, yeah, it's a laugher. You don't see it very often. 8-1 against the Oilers on opening night was a ball. I mean, everybody had fun there. Well, not the Oilers, but there's something about, you know, being battle-tested. And this did look and feel more like the kind of game you're going to see in April and May. They're going to see Colorado, and they're going to see Vegas and Boston and the other good teams that are out there still, Winnipeg, the way that they're going. So I look forward to more of these. But I think from the coaching staff's perspective, they'll take the 2 points that you get out of a 10-1 win over San Jose. But I think there's more value, obviously, in having to grind and getting pushed and being, you know, up against the wall at times in that third period. They spent a lot of the third period in their own zone and even parts of the second period. But ultimately, they prevailed. They did what they had to do to win.
Yeah, I think last season, how many times did they blow 2-goal leads? A lot,
yes.
Right? And I think when you looked at this team before this season started, you said, okay, they're probably not going to have a problem scoring goals. It's can they defend? And can they defend in important game situations? And I think that of everything that I look at from this team this season through obviously now 42 games, that's probably the most surprising part to me. That's what stands out. It's not the goals. It's not, you know, the insane numbers that they're putting up. It's the fact that they're not losing games when they're up, you know, and they're not breaking when they're down a goal. You know, they like you mentioned before, you know, when they get down 1-0, they don't really get down 2-0. And then when you have a lead going to third, you don't lose games. That's this Vancouver Canucks team. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think we've had the conversation of what surprised us each other the most about the halfway point. But that to me, I think stands out.
Travis says most exciting game of the season. And I would say, yeah, right up there. I mean, yeah, I thought the Ranger one the other night was awfully good too, but this one a little tighter, a little more suspenseful, obviously, and a little longer with OT. Felt like a playoff game. Might have taken a few years off my heart, but it's good to be yelling at my TV for good reasons. And you're not alone there, Travis. Again, we're feeling that sort of sense anecdotally. I've got buddies that are season ticket holders that have questioned whether they should buck up and renew year after year. And now they're glad that they did because the payoff is still to come here. But it's nights like this one. You know, if this was a game at Rogers Arena, like people would be leaving the building buzzing.
Shocked.
So, yeah. Last word tonight from the listener segment, at least, is Robbie says, hands down, the PK. PK was solid from everyone, including Demko. Great win. And that kind of echoes what we talked about a little bit earlier in the show, that, you know, that's not always the glory work on the penalty kill. It's just hard work and effort and paying a price and the battles and everything else. And the Canucks certainly did all of that and 4 big penalty kills on the night. And, you know, power plays have been hard to come by. They were again here. Power play goals have been in short supply, just their second power play goal since Christmas. So, you know, when the power, like, look out when the power play gets going with this group. 5-on-5 right now, they are absolutely steamrolling their competition. And they did again because, you know, the Penguins score 3 times, but one of them is a 6-on-5 goal. So at 5-on-5, the Vancouver Canucks have been absolutely dominant. It has been one of the best parts of this road trip. So out of Pittsburgh and into Buffalo, the Sabres were 5-3 winners over the Ottawa Senators while the Canucks were winning in OT. So both of these teams coming off victories on Thursday. It's an afternoon game. Those haven't always produced the best in the Vancouver Canucks with the early start, even on the East Coast at kind of throws them for a bit of a loop. And then, of course, on Monday, if you haven't heard or checked the schedule, it's Martin Luther King Day in the States. That's a 10 o'clock Pacific time, a 1 p.m. Eastern start in Columbus to wrap up the road trip. So a couple of matinee games here at the back end of a trip that has been incredible for the Canucks. It started with a sluggish one in St. Louis. They lost 2-1, but boy, the way that they have responded here with four straight victories against four pretty good opponents. And so now Buffalo, you know, and the task, I think, for Rick Tocchet is, again, to get his guys to focus, to reset, enjoy this win, but know that Buffalo can be a difficult team to play against. They can score lots of goals. And so I think Rick Tocchet at the end of a long trip, if guys' minds are starting to wander a little bit, or getting home and seeing family and friends and those types of things, it is a business trip. After all, two more games to go, and what an opportunity here just to continue the run on Saturday against the Sabres.
What did we talk about before? I think how many wins they would have in January?
Yeah. Well, I said 4-2-1 on this seven-game trip. To me, raised the bar a little bit, better than 500.
Yeah.
Well, they've guaranteed.
They've guaranteed that, at least.
Yeah, they've got the four wins.
I think it was, there's 13 games in July, and I said seven. So, or sorry, in January. July. yeah, 13 games in January, and I said, and I think we put the number at seven. But yeah, I mean, wild. And look, I think that you can get into a mindset here where it's your four straight win. It was an emotional game. Afternoon against Buffalo, like, you got to get up for that. I know it's the tail end. You might be one foot out of the door into Columbus, but I think the messaging from the coaching staff, and I think this team is matured enough to know, go take care of your business. The breaks eventually will come.
Be interesting to see about lineup decisions as they get deeper into the road trip here. I would imagine that there'll be a split of goaltending. Give Thatcher Demko the Saturday start and then let him put his feet up in Columbus perhaps on Monday and get Casey DeSmith back in there. And also, I mean, we saw Ian Cole come out of the lineup and then goes back in, and Noah Juulsen sat. Will there be some load management in either of these final two games of the road trip, or do they stay with their big six on defense? And, you know, we touched on the fact that earlier in the game, Riley Smith, and I haven't seen an update, but I hope he's okay. But on a night when we were just getting updates, injuries and injuries to key players, again, the Canucks, and I'll knock on wood for them, but that has been such a big part of their story as well, is their top guys have been there night in, night out. And when their big guys are there and playing the way they are right now, the Vancouver Canucks are damn difficult to beat, as they were in Pittsburgh on Thursday. 4-3, the final score in overtime. Pettersson with a pair. He's up to 22 on the season. And Brock Besser got the ball rolling with his two goals, 26 and 27 on the season. JT Miller with three helpers on the first three goals of the night. So Lotto line, another 9 points in their back pocket as they head for Buffalo. And stop number six on this seven-game road trip. And that's when we'll be back after the game on Saturday. We'll continue to break all of this down. Look forward to more of your feedback as well as we carry on with the rink-wide into the second half of this Vancouver Canucks season. 28-11-3 are the Canucks with 59 points now through 42 games. For Irv, this is Jeff. As always, we thank you so much for listening to another edition of Rink-Wide Vancouver, brought to you by Betway.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.